Let's pray. Then we get into the word. Father, as we prayed at the beginning, Lord, tonight is about you and you alone. And Father, tonight, Lord, I'm trusting, Lord, for a real, authentic, Lord, response from our side, Lord, towards you, Lord God. This is what the conference is about, Lord God, worship and missions, Lord God, that our worship, Lord, will lead into missions. Father, that we can get on our hearts, Lord, what is in your heart. And I pray, therefore, Lord God, that this word tonight, Lord, will really find a hold in our hearts, Lord. Really find a place where it can take root and become alive. And Father, for those of us among us for whom it's already alive, Lord God, I pray, Lord God, that the rest of the people can really tap from them to have it become alive in all of us. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to start tonight by asking a few questions that I believe is important for us to think about. And the very first question tonight is, why are you here? Not in the sense of why are you here tonight, why do you come to church? You don't have to give me the answer, but I do want you to think about your own answer and remember it. Because in just a minute or so, we're going to compare answers. Just you and yourself, the two of you, you're going to compare answers. Why do you come to church? Then the second question would be, is tomorrow morning, why would you go to work? Why do you go to work? Or for most of you, you're sitting here tonight, probably, why do you study? Why do you come to church? Why do you study? We can take it maybe a bit further, a bit broader, and ask the question, why do you live? What is the purpose of your life? Do you know? Why do you live? What do you want to achieve? And what or whose vision are you following? I think for most of us, we go back to the first two questions in terms of why do I come to church and why do I go to work. For most of us, the answers would be very different and not the same. And I want you to take those answers that you've got and I want you to compare this to Matthew 5, verse 13 to 16. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. We are meant to be salt and light to this world. And it's not in the sense of I have to do good deeds in order that other people can see it. That's not what it's about. It's about making the light of Jesus that is inside of me, making that light visible to the dark world out there. And Jesus said in John 8 verse 12, I am the light. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And it's that light that we're talking about to make it visible to the earth, visible to the world out there. Would you believe, would you agree with me if I say that the world out there is a dark place, spiritually speaking? Okay, in general, I find agreement. That's good. For those of you who don't, I'll mention in a minute just one or two things that's, in a sense, quite shocking. Sometimes I think we're probably so used to it, we don't even find it shocking anymore. But the world literally is a dark place. Now, I want to ask you, based upon that, do we as a church, not Shofar, but the church in general, are we effective in having a positive influence in this world at the moment? And I'm not talking small-scale stuff, I'm talking big-scale. Are we effective in shaping the thinking of people in this world? And it's a good question to ask. I think we can ask various answers, but in general, I think not. Now, why not? Just a week ago, I was sitting at home and praying, and wasn't praying about anything specific at that moment, just praying in the Spirit. And the Lord reminded me of a specific scripture, and it wasn't even the full scripture. It was just a small portion of it, just a phrase. And we've got it there on the slide, James 4, verse 8. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. So in terms of the question, why are we not effective in reaching the world out there? Answer is simple, because of a lack of focus. Because of a lack of focus. You see, we approach this life so often with a age-old analogy of standing with your... There's a line here, but it's in the wrong direction. Standing with your feet either side of a line. And on the one hand, we put God, we put Christianity, we put faith. On the other side, we put work, study, recreational stuff, the world. On the one hand, we really want to pursue God. But on the other side, there's so many things in this world that entices us and it causes us to lose focus in terms of why we are really here. On the one hand, we want to really please God. But on the other side, there's so many things that we do specifically and we pursue specifically for my pleasure and for nothing else. So I think we must stand still tonight and really ask ourselves the question, but what is important for me? Not in the sense of a religious sense and get a religious answer from it to say what should be important for me, but what is important for me? And within that also, not in any condemning way, just simply in a place of honesty, where we are honest with ourselves, where we are honest with the Holy Spirit, and allow the Holy Spirit to show us what is actually in our hearts. Not to be condemned in any way. None of us here tonight are perfect. I won't tell you some of my stories. I've already done that a few weeks ago in any case. Okay, so I want you guys to understand that tonight I'm not talking about pursuing relationship with God. I firmly believe that most of you here are here tonight because you've got a real love for God. You're sincere in your love after God. So that's not what I'm talking about. What I am talking about tonight is serving the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it sounds maybe funny saying this because on the one hand you love God, that should lead to a place of serving the gospel of Jesus, but it doesn't always. Not with all of us. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight, serving the gospel of Jesus Christ. You are allowed to smile. It's not such a heavy word. Okay. Now, why is that important? The truth is, and it's something I learned long ago, and I think I've forgotten it often, but the truth is, I believe in Jesus. Jesus, the light, lives inside of me. I'm a witness for Jesus. Wherever I go, whatever I do, I'm a witness for Jesus. So in that sense, I can either be a good witness or I can be a bad witness. But a witness, I am. And that's the thing that we so often miss. The whole Matthew 5 thing that we just read a few minutes ago. Being salt to this world, being light to this world. It's part of a whole series. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. And I don't always understand why it's called the Sermon on the Mount, because it's Jesus speaking to his 12 disciples and not to a multitude of people. But I did realize this afternoon when we started in Pretoria in 2003, we were less than 10 and Ross was preaching to us. So I guess it can be a sermon. That was supposed to be funny. But in any case. And then after that, in speaking to his disciples, saying that you're supposed to be salt to this world. And then later at the end, Matthew 28, Jesus is giving them the Great Commission and tell them, go into the world, make disciples, and teach them to observe everything that I've commanded you. So that scripture is very, very much something that God commands us, that he wants us to do, for us to be salt to this world and light to this world. I mean, it goes without saying, but I'm still going to say it. In biblical times, and even until recently, salt was used, one of its main purposes was used to preserve meat. And if the meat isn't salted, it would go simply frot. Sometimes Afrikaans is just a lot more descriptive. It would go frot. And the world out there at the moment is going frotter and frotter every day. For those of you who don't know what frot means, it means the meat is turned. It's gone frot. Thanks, Colin, you're a big help. In any case, but it's gone off. And the world out there today is in real need of salt. And exact same thing with the fact that we need to be light to this world. It just follows on the same thing. One of the scriptures that challenges me quite a bit, simply because I'm not an evangelistic person, it's not part of my main, let's call it motivational gifting, although that doesn't mean I'm not supposed to be involved in things like that. So just for in case you think it's not for you. Jesus talking to his disciples, the 12, sending them out into the rest of Israel to go and preach and to heal the sick and undemonize the demon-possessed and those type of stuff. One of the things he tells them there is, freely you have received, now freely go and give. And that is what it's about, being salt to this earth, being, I almost said water to this earth, being salt is being light to this earth in everything. Whether I come to church, whether I go to work, whether I go to the gym, whether I spend time with friends, it doesn't matter. Everywhere we are, being salt to this world, being a light to this world. And I think in that sense we often get stuck in a certain way of thinking, a certain way of life. And tonight I really want us to think about that, because we can't continue in that same sort of pattern of life. We're living in actually very interesting times. We've been in a historic sense, we've come to a bit of a crossroads. I'm going to explain that by going back 5 centuries to the early 1500s to a guy named Martin Luther. Now Martin Luther, as most of you would know, is the person who's credited with bringing about the Reformation in the church. Coming back to real Christianity, where you are saved by faith in Jesus, not by doing all sorts of different stuff. But if truth were told, Martin Luther was not the first person ever to try and bring reform. And I see some of the last year's interns laughing. They will know it. They were in the same classes as we were. But he was not the first person. He was, to a great degree, the right man at the right time. And I'm not discrediting what he did. He did powerful work and God used him powerfully. But there was a number of things that was beneficial to him that made him successful. And society in that time, in the previous 50 to 100 years, changed quite a bit. And one of the biggest reasons why society changed, and one of the biggest things that was a tool that Martin Luther could use to reach more people, was the printing press. Now, why did the printing press make such a big difference? It was just developed relatively shortly before he put all these statements on the doorpost of the one church in Germany. But what the printing press did was, it made information available to a lot more people a lot more cheaply. So you could get information out to people. So it could be used as a propaganda tool in that sense. And that's one of the things that helped Martin Luther actually bring about Reformation. And today, I'm not going to go into the rest of that history. It's quite interesting if you want to read it. Today, we've got something that we call the internet, with a massive, massive amount of information available. All sorts of different stuff. And it's changed how the world operates in literally less than 15 years. When I was still in school, and I got out of school in the mid-90s, when we had to do projects, my parents had bookcases full of encyclopedias, which was your information. Today, I know very few people who's got something like that, because everyone goes to the internet. So the internet is very good, but the problem is anyone can put anything on it. There's a lot of different philosophies, a lot of different ideas out there. And what's happening at the moment, and we're starting to see a bit of this in South Africa, not that much, but it's starting to come, and it's going to become more prevalent. In Europe specifically, The people would go, they would look at the religions, say, I like this from this one, that from that one, this from this one, and they would mix it all together. So you've got a bit of a mixed bag of philosophy, a mixed bag of traditions, a mixed bag of whatever. And they then make their religion. And it's got a name. It's called pluralism. Pluralism. So what's happening literally is that the world is getting more and more confused by the day. And the danger is that we, at the same time, are getting more and more comfortable in our ever-decreasing little bubble. Pluralism. Things that happen. And I think just something that I want us to think a little bit about. The stuff also we look at. Because, I mean, we can say, okay, this is possibly what happens, and it's going to influence the way we approach people and we're going to minister to people, because you're not going to minister anymore to a Muslim or a atheist or a this or a that, because there's going to be a mixed bag of stuff. But I do want us to check, and it's not the main purpose of tonight's... I've got the word now. Message. But I do want us to have a look at it. I'm not saying don't do it, I'm just saying be critical in terms of what you take in, what you read on the internet, what you look at in terms of movies, what you listen to in terms of music. Because a lot of times the double-mindedness that we struggle with comes from the fact that we've allowed so many different ideas and philosophies to influence us. And we struggle with that. So I just want to put that on the side, that we need to really double-check that and be critical about this stuff and compare it again to the truth of the Word of God, to the truth of the love of God in terms of what He wants for us. When the reality is the world out there is desperate for the truth of the love of God. And the world will only get it if we submit ourselves under God's authority and make really, really sure that all those philosophies and all those different ideas, that we don't mix that with the Christianity that we have. In any case, I think what's important for us, I must say, just in terms of submitting to God, His authority, I'm very blessed to see what's been happening in church lately. Ross and I chat quite a bit about it at the office, and we're really excited to see what's happening in church. Just a community that is being established, and well, we know specifically about a lot of the men's cells, the accountability that's becoming really, really strong. And that in itself is already a sign of the fact that you are more than willing to submit under God's authority. So we're really excited about that. I think what's just important from here onwards is that we don't just have a heart for me individually to serve God, and not just a heart for our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ to serve God, but ultimately that we go out into the world in order to see them also come to the place where they can serve God. That's ultimately what we're aiming for. I mean, we are the vessels that God has appointed to go out and reach the world. And I think just in terms of double-mindedness again, just make sure that we are sensitive for it. We are called to be world changers. We are called to be impact makers. To really go out there and impact the world. And as I've said just now, the world desperately, desperately needs the truth of the love of God. I'm quickly losing a lot of my own naivety in terms of the brokenness of the people that come into church. Just recently when we went up to Gauteng, I spent a bit of time with a very old friend of ours, and she's been building a bit of a relationship with a 12 and a 14-year-old, no, 14 and 16-year-old boys in the gym that she goes to. And just a little bit earlier this year, the 14-year-old boy showed her a picture that one of the girls that's with him in school sent him. And it was a picture of this girl stark naked. Now, it's something most of you will know what's been happening. What's surprising is what he told her after that. Well, maybe also not that surprising, but she asked him, but okay, no, why would she do that? I mean, it's just not right. And he said, it's an invitation. And it's an invitation. Now for me personally, I mean, it's obviously the whole issue of sexual lust. But it's not the main issue here. The main issue is all sorts of different things that the children are being taught directly and indirectly, which causes them to think that that type of thing is a normal way of living life. And the problem is, in so many cases, there's no one else there to tell them the opposite, to tell them the real truth. Because so often, so many of us are sitting in our own comfort, our own little bubble. And I don't want to be condemning, just really want to encourage us that there's something more out there that God has called us to. There's a world that needs desperately to hear about His love. On Thursday night, I don't know whether any of you saw the news on Thursday evening. They gave out all the latest crime statistics. And I must say, it's in a sense a bit heartening. Some of the stuff has come down. The murder figures are down over the past few years from 18,000 to 15,000 a year. Still a shocking figure. But the one thing that stood out for me, and is the one thing that did not come down, was rape. Do you have any idea how many rapes happen in this country? 56,000 per year. 56,000 per year. That's more than 150 per day. And that is only the ones that gets reported at the police stations. Now, I know a lot of that stuff is in very localized areas, but the fact is, it's still happening, and it's still happening around us. It's happening in the country in which God has placed us. I'm going to say it for what I think is the fourth time. This world is desperately in need of the truth of the love of God. The question is, are we willing to go and make a difference? Are we willing to go and make a change and be a difference in this world? It's very often our own double-mindedness that causes us to lose focus in terms of knowing why God has placed us here on this earth and in this country. 1 Timothy 3, verse 14 to 15. It's Paul speaking to Timothy. I hope to come to you soon, but I'm writing these things to you so that if I delay, you may know how one ought to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, a pillar and buttress of truth. The church is a pillar and buttress of truth. Something that upholds truth. Make sure it remains out there. And obviously the church, we, us, you and me, it's our responsibility to stand up for the truth. Obviously not in a judgmental way. I think the church has done way too much of that for way too long. But in more a way that we go out into this world and minister acceptance to everyone. Not that we say everyone is necessarily a servant of God in that sense, but going towards them with the love that God has for them. So yeah, just in a sense, we're simply confident in what we believe, allowing the Lord to place His love for them inside of us. And then truth. What is truth? I think it's quite obvious for most of you here. John 14, verse 6, Jesus saying, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And if you watch the Furious Love DVDs, you would have seen a German guy there making quite a few profound statements. And one of them was this, that truth is not a teaching. Truth is a person. Truth is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is truth. And that is what the world needs. The world needs us to confess to them the truth about Jesus. Who He is, what He did, His love, His compassion, His desire to have a relationship with people, His desire to see them be with Him forever, His desire to see them transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. And Jaco spoke a bit about that. It's a famous quote that most of us would have heard sometime before. A quote from Francis of Assisi. Comes out of the, I think it's 1100, 1200, somewhere there. Can't remember exactly when the guy lived. But he said, preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. Preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. Now I want to say, that is the truth, but it's not all of the truth. Romans 10, Verse 11 to 14. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing the riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls in the name of the Lord will be saved. That we know. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? How will they know unless they hear? And how will they hear unless someone somewhere actually opens his mouth and talks to them about the truth of the love of Jesus? Now I do want to say, this does not mean your actions are not important. The testimony of your life is vitally important because it gives authority to what you say. And especially not in a sense of where you go to a foreign country or a foreign place where you don't know the people, the testimony of your life is not going to mean much there. You're free to just preach the gospel without someone thinking you're a hypocrite or that sort of thing. But specifically in the sense of the circles of influence in which God has placed us, that's where the testimony of our lives becomes something to protect at all cost. Something to really uphold. Because we don't want the testimony of my, I don't want the testimony of my life to devalue the message that I preach for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For that sake. For his sake. And it's, I must say, it is quite saddening for me, discussed with a number of people lately, just how the world so often sees Christians as hypocrites. And it's sad, but it's actually so often so true. Because of this thing. Because on the one hand, we know God, we know Jesus, we believe in him. On the other hand, we've got the exact same desires, the exact same, let's call it lusts, that the world has. I'm not going to say that having it is necessarily all that wrong. But the fact is, just as the world, we fall for it. We also fall for those temptations. And that's why the world is so often looking at us and they just want nothing to do with us because of that. So we must make sure the testimonies of our lives is something that agree with what we say, with what we're speaking about, which is why it's important. Which is why it's important for each and every one of us to pursue that intimate relationship with God. Which is why it's important for all of us to allow God to build character into our lives. Which is why it's important for us to walk in community, walk in accountability. Because it's for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay, so we get back to that question. What is important for me? I think, you know, we've, as Christians, and I include myself in this, we've done enough fence sitting. Just looking on the fence and looking on and seeing what is happening in the world. Again, if you look at history, you know, a lack of action has never produced anything. If I come and stand here in front of you and I just stand like this without saying anything, nothing is going to happen. Silence spreads nothing. So it's really time where we as Christians come to stand up and be who God called us to be. So all of you sitting here, each and every one of you, you are a bearer of truth. You are light to your classmates. You are salt to your colleagues at work. That's what God has called us to. And it's time we stop being ashamed of, you know, believing something that we know the world ridicules. There's nothing to be ashamed about concerning the life that we find in Christ. There's nothing to be ashamed about that. Like I said just now, looking at history, I mean, again, just a man like Martin Luther, if you go and see the context in within which he did what he did, he literally did stuff that would cause his life to become in danger. And so many of us, we've never been there. I've never been there. Where for the sake of the gospel, someone might actually kill me. Incredible odds, incredible pressure. The cause of God throughout the course of history has never been advanced, has never been furthered by timid, fence-sitting Christians afraid of being ridiculed. And like I say, I'm in the exact same spot as most of you guys. It's time that we really come and stand up and act. The world needs us to act. So yeah, to a big degree, we must make peace with the fact that we are not of this world. Jesus, while praying for his disciples just before he got crucified, specifically mentioned that the world hated them because they, just as he, was not of this world. And for me, I'm, again, someone who I don't like to stand out. And that's exactly it. We must stop being afraid of standing out. If we are meant to be light to a dark world, well, then we are meant to be visible. We are meant to stand out. And I'm talking in a spiritual sense. I'm not talking in a physical sense. We're meant to stand out. So it's time that we stand up for the truth of the gospel, for the sake of the people around us, in amongst whom God has placed us. Because I believe there's many of them that are really willing to respond to the truth of the gospel, to respond to the message of hope that there is in Christ. So in that sense, I really believe we need to have our focus restored in terms of why we are here. Yaku, can we have a look at that DVD? We're going to look at it, just a 12-minute DVD, and after that I'll wrap up for us.
Their bridge command just reported back, and they have a crew of 64 with 24 lifeboats ready to be deployed.
Very well. Give them the coordinates and the manifest details of the Rosa Mary immediately. And I want a status report from the Corpus Christi in 5 minutes.
Yes, sir.
Seaman McMillan. Quite a night for your first tour of duty.
Who are you?
Choices, Jack. You, my friend, are about to enter the Valley of Decision.
I'm sorry, mister, I have...
Let me ask you a question. What takes precedence? The vessel's facilities or its overall purpose?
I believe the purpose of this vessel is quite clear, sir.
Precisely. Our purpose should be quite clear. Jack, we are heading into dangerous territory. No way around that. However, inside this vessel is a comfortable place to be. And therein lies your choice. Will you go? Or are you also content to merely study about going?
Sir, I do have to go. I have to serve the party. It's about to start.
Jack, the party is almost over.
Thank you. captain has ordered everyone to report immediately to Officer Berlow at the second level deck for an urgent rescue operation. Officer Berlow has prepared the lifeboats and we're ready to deploy. Everyone follow me.
A rescue operation?
Stanley, this man is dripping on my floor. My good man, Officer Brock. Let me assure you of one thing. There will be no rescue operation.
But, sir...
Think! Do you know who takes their ship out in this kind of weather? Those who wish to remain unnoticed. So, if some group of drug runners have run afoul, I will be the last to risk life and limb to save them. Devils, all of them.
But, sir, this boat, after all,
I know perfectly well the purpose of this vessel. Do you wish to have us all killed?
No, sir.
The whole purpose of being inside such a boat as this is that it protects you from the outside. Is this not clear to you, Officer Brock?
Well, maybe. Maybe, perhaps not, sir. Sorry, sir.
Seaman McMillan.
Is that you I see joining the wise men? Now there goes some of your finesse. Everybody, 2145 sharp, church.
Approached them from the starboard. The whole design for the new raft is based upon you pulling them up from the stern.
You want to be in 12-foot seas pulling somebody out from the stern? You can't even reach them. Trust me, I went over this thing for 3 weeks with Berlow. I've memorized the manuals. I think you better catch up on some of your homework.
Man, have you ever been on the new lifeboat?
Aren't you glad you're not out in that weather tonight? I think it's time for church.
Sir, you are correct. The Rosa Mary was en route from Vancouver and filed a manifest stating a crew of 12 and 64 passengers. Can you please report on the status of the operation?
Three lifeboats have been dropped and are operational. Over.
Sir, this is U.S. Coast Guard Captain James Meyer. You and your crew are under orders to deploy all available lifeboats and crew immediately. Do you comprehend the situation you are in? You are their only chance.
They have the boat to beat all boats. 64 crew, 24 rescue boats, and they launch three.
God's own image in man was the image of love, until the storms of sin ruffled the waters and the reflection was distorted. But God was not outwitted. He invested all he had for everyone who ever lived. Through the ages, impassionate men and women have lived and died to preach Christ and his salvation to all tribes and nations. The love of God in a man's soul is 100 times finer and more noble than any motive that has ever driven him. To know the love of all loves is the secret of all secrets. My friend, I'm here to tell you, the Church of Jesus Christ is not a pleasure boat, but a lifeboat for saving souls. And every hand is needed on deck.
The Church of Jesus Christ is not a pleasure boat. It is a lifeboat for the saving of souls. And that is quite a powerful metaphor. The same guy who spoke there, Reinhard Bonnke, has got a famous saying, and I can't say it with the amount of passion that he does, but he says that what we must do is we must plunder hell and populate heaven. We must plunder hell and populate heaven. Which for me is a very good reminder of the cosmic battle in which we are. And Yaku talked a little bit about the two kingdoms. And the fact still remains, we're in the middle of a cosmic battle, kingdom of light versus the kingdom of darkness. And what are these two kingdoms, let's call it, fighting about? What is the spoils of this fight? It's people. The lives of people, the eternal destiny of people. So we can't just simply be spectators anymore and watch the world go to hell. We are the primary way in which God intended to show his love to this world. I don't want you guys tonight to feel condemned in any way. I want you to be stirred and to stir your heart to come back to that place of really serving the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's for me just as big a challenge as it is for you. I mean, that's ultimately why we are here, to serve the gospel of Jesus Christ. John 3:16-17, just one or two things that I just want to mention in terms of how we go out, how we go and do this. It's going to be incredibly practical. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. So in terms of methodology, we go out not with condemnation. We go out not by being judgmental. But like I said a while ago, we go out by ministering acceptance to people and drawing them in and closer to the love of God. For God so loved the world, because of love. Because of the love that God has for people. And because we truly desire them to become part of the kingdom of light. Truly desire them to become part of God's family. So in a sounds a bit heavy tonight, and you look as though it was a bit heavy. But I really want to say it's time that we stop being silent. It's time that we stop being just continually sitting on the fence. It's time that we stop just being comfortable and get our focus right in terms of what God has placed us here for. And I want to reiterate what I said a while ago. Tonight for me is not primarily about doing missions and going out into a foreign country or a foreign area and to go and preach the gospel there. That is important. We must do that as well. But tonight I want you guys to think in terms of where you are already. The relationships that you have already. Most people that come into relationship with Jesus comes through the fact that another friend introduced them to Jesus or someone they know. Very few actually come to relationship in Jesus because of an altar call or that sort of thing. Where we are, there we are supposed to be salt to this world and light to this world. God placed us amongst people for a reason. So coming back to the questions we had at the start, why do I come to church? To worship God and to serve His mission. Why tomorrow do I go to work? Why tomorrow do I go to the classroom? To worship God and to serve His mission. Let's stand tonight. Can the band please come up again?
Evening church, I just want to share a word that I really feel is on the Lord's heart, and it's something that I, even before Yaku got into like the crucial part of his sermon, these are the words that I really felt impressed on my heart, and the Lord says, I have anointed you for a task such as this. My spirit is in you. I breathe my life and my love into you when I found you an abandoned baby drowning in your own pool of blood. Now go and testify. You love because I loved you first. And also the last song, when we repeated that last song, while we were singing, I just really felt the Lord say, pray for your most beloved person who is close to you who does not know me. And I think that we can also do that if you feel someone, this person is really dear to me, and I realize that he's walking through the valley of the shadow of death, but he doesn't have Jesus, so he's not making it through that valley. And if we have Jesus with us, we can make it through anything. But we love because he loved us first.
Amen. Thanks, Marcel. Personally, in terms of my own response to that, I've got a cousin that I just heard 2 days ago has got breast cancer. And she has departed from the Lord, but it's, I really trust in the Lord that she'll come back. I think just an important thing that Marcel mentioned there is specifically prayer. Go home. Go and think about the people that you are with. Are they at home? Are they at work? Are they with the studies? Wherever, with maybe training partners at cycling or gym or whatever. And start to pray for the guys. Start to ask the Lord to show you His heart for that specific person. Ask Him for strategy, how to reach each and every person. And then start to engage with them, but engage with them in such a way that the Holy Spirit can really draw them to the love of God. I want tonight for us to, just before we worship, or maybe even as we worship, through the worship, to focus on 2 things. If you're here tonight and you find yourself mostly apathetic towards the people around you that you know do not have relationship with Christ, I want you tonight to, I'm not specifically going to call you forward. There's obviously time for ministry afterwards. If you want to be prayed for and pray with someone, you're welcome to come forward. But I want you to yourself, come before God and bring that hardness in your heart. Bring that before God in simple, pure honesty. And saying, just, Lord, this is the state of my heart. Please help me. And then ask Him to show you His heart for the people. And start praying for them. Start praying for them tonight. If you want someone to help you, then pray with them. For the rest of you guys, and even maybe those as well, the whole issue of boldness again. Being just bold enough to speak the truth, obviously, as I've said, within love. But so often we start to lack that boldness, and we come to a place like this and realize, oh dear, I haven't got that boldness. Okay, so let's go forward and pray for boldness and ask the Lord and trust the Lord for boldness. And as powerful as that is, and we normally do that because we go back to what the disciples did in Acts after the persecution started, where they asked the Lord for boldness. The one thing that we so often miss when you look at that piece of scripture is the fact that they already had the desire to go out and minister. So tonight I really want us to focus first on, let's just get our focus right. And then let's ask the Lord for boldness. If you need prayer in any of this, while we worship now, you're welcome to come forward. We pray together with you guys. Let's worship.